Yes, and we are on.
Welcome.
My name is Jason Johnson, and this is the first podcast that we are putting together, and hopefully we can have many more to come. Sitting with me is
Cantrice Jennings, aka Jenny Trees.
Yes, so we are going to tackle an issue that I believe and that she also believes is important. Both me and Cantrice have a passion for the culture. And when I say culture, I am referring to the Black community.
Yes.
Or some would say the Afro-American.
Yes.
Nah, but seriously, like, you know, we both want to try and, you know, better ourselves and see others within the Black community become better, because we know the issues that we face and it's real, you know, and we both have our differences on, you know, solutions that we feel like can work, but we're not going to go into depth today about that, but we are going to in some way kind of address that issue.
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely going to talk about issues on this podcast that affect the community as a people, also as the United States in general. Jason and I came up with this idea to start a podcast. We were having some pretty good conversations at work, and we had great ideas on different solutions and things of that nature, so we decided to come together as a unit and create this podcast. So today is our day, first day tackling the podcast and trying to get things out here. So we're here to inform you and keep you entertained. So today our first subject is on what?
Yeah, so today we're going to actually address something that was that has been trending in the last like day or two.
Yes.
And it has to do with a comedian by the name of Monique.
Yeah.
And she happens to be a Black woman, which in all honesty, I don't place a whole lot of significance on one's race or gender. But I say that only because she finds it to be very significant to her, especially for this issue. So before we dive in, I would like to play a segment of the issue that Monique has brought to the forefront in the last recent, like I said, day or so. And then we will go from there. So let's go with that.
Absolutely. Miss Monique.
Hey, Monique, my babies. Yeah. Good morning.
On the phone line as well.
Brother Sydney.
Good morning, y'all.
Now, when Monique walked in, I gave her a hug. I wanted her to know it's all love.
Yes, it did, my love.
We just here to have a conversation. That's all
we're doing.
That's all. Now, what's going on today, Miss Monique?
Well, baby, you know, first I want to say to Eddie, to your producer, thanks for sharing the platform with us. And a while ago, when I came up,
that wasn't Eddie. That was us.
Yeah, Eddie, lucky he here.
Right? Okay, okay. Let me thank all three of y'all for sharing your platform with me and my husband.
All right.
But a while ago, I had to come out, and I spoke in reference to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
That we had to You know, I was asking folks to stand with us as we boycott Netflix for gender bias and color bias.
Correct.
And we were fighting for equality.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that I had become donkey of the day.
Yes.
So that's the a little bit of the issue in a nutshell. And to expand a little bit further, Monique was, as you heard, wanting to or has started a boycott against Netflix. And the reason why she wanted to start this boycott was because she was offered a contract, which was in no way comparable to the amount of money that some of the other comedians were making, such as Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, and Amy Schumer. Monique was given a contract of somewhere in the ballpark of $500,000, while Amy Schumer was given a contract of about $13 million, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$14 million.
And I think Dave and Chris were given contracts of like $20 million or more.
Yeah, something around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she requests to boycott. She asked people to boycott Netflix. The voices that you heard on there were voices from The Breakfast Club, mm-hmm. which is a radio show that's based out of New York, DJ Envy, Charlamagne, and Angela Yee.
Yes.
So what brought her to the show was she had received a Donkey of the Day by Charlamagne.
Yeah.
Which is a segment of the show where Charlamagne gives someone what he believes the deserved title of Donkey of the Day for saying or doing something that he feels is stupid. Well, this reached Monique, and as you heard, she was not too happy about this.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't understand why she was so upset about becoming Donkey of the Day. Of course, that's an opinion, and not everyone is going to agree with boycotting Netflix because she didn't get the type of money or the contract that she was hoping for, because other comedians got that amount of money. So I didn't see any merit of her being upset about receiving Donkey of the Day. But she felt that as a black man, for Charlamagne to give her Donkey of the Day, it was really bringing her down as a black woman. So now she's on the show. She's, you know, saying that she's upset about that. But it really, the issue at hand is the fact that she didn't get this contract that she was looking for, that Amy Schumer or Dave Chappelle received, saying that it was gender and color bias, which also holds no merit because Amy Schumer, she's a lady, and
right.
Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle are both black men. So I really didn't see her point in that. I do understand why Charlamagne gave her Donkey of the Day, because these three comedians, Amy, Dave, and Chris, they're all very active right now in Hollywood, and they're working. What has Monique done lately besides the movie, the Christmas movie, which I haven't seen? I doubt it. You've seen it.
No.
Yeah,
I didn't.
I haven't heard about it until she started talking about it. So, you know, I don't really agree with her. Netflix is major right now.
Major key alert.
Major, especially if you do not have cable. And it's very cost efficient than cable. So if for a person to cut off their entertainment, Netflix, just for her, for someone that we don't really see anymore out and about, I think is a bit ludicrous.
Right. Yeah, and I can definitely agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah.
So the question I want to raise is, was Monique coming off as being entitled or as a person that just wanted to get what she believes she was worth?
I think she's coming off entitled. Now, listen, you know, gender, race, bias, you know, these things are real issues that women and people of color have to think about and deal with on a daily basis. But like Charlamagne said, you know, what has she done recently that can get her that type of money? She hasn't really done much. Yes, she is the queen of comedy because she did have that tour with the other ladies, and that was a smash. But
right.
How many years ago? That was many years ago, 15 years ago. I was a kid when that came out. And then, yeah, she's Mrs. Parker. She had the Parker Show. That was a great show. Everyone loved that back then. But again, she hasn't done much in the community besides blogging. and like I said, that Christmas movie that no one's seen. So I think she is just trying to have that that sense of entitlement. Now, also, I don't want to take away her award because she did receive an award. I'm not sure if it was a Grammy or what, but she received a major award for that movie Precious,
mm-hmm.
where she played the mother, abusive mother, to Gabrielle Sidibe in the movie. And she did great, and she played that role very well. But again, we're talking about Netflix and a comedy special. Who knows if she's still that funny to receive millions of dollars?
Yeah.
$500,000, that's a lot of money. She could have done a lot with that. If she would have done great, took the deal, and maybe did great on that special, she probably got a second special like Dave Chappelle and Chris right. Rock.
Someone in the comments section said that she could have taken that $500,000 and paid off her tax invasion to avoid going to jail like Wesley Snipes.
Well, you don't want to go to jail, and you see Wesley, he hasn't done much since he got out of prison. So, you know, I don't understand why she didn't take that offer. $500,000, that's a good
amount. Well, to us it is.
Yeah, it is.
But she's, But, I mean, I guess because she's been making money for some time.
But where? Where has she been? She hasn't been making any. Right. She hasn't been making any money.
And it was the biggest offer, I guess.
Yes.
That she received when in comparison to the other offers that were made from other streaming
exactly.
companies.
Exactly, she admits that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, she's saying that Oprah and Tyler Perry and Lee Daniels have all blacklisted her and she can't find any work. Well, if you can't find any work, you're blacklisted from Hollywood, no one's going to pay you $500,000. What is your issue? Are you really being... ostracized because of your gender, your age, or your race? No, it's because you've been blackballed. You've been known to be very difficult to work with, not only by those individuals, but people who worked with her on set said that she was rude, you know, and things of that nature, even to, you know, the little men, like makeup artists and things of that nature. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like she should have just done that deal. Show that she's easy to work with, that she's worth more than $500,000. And like I said, who'd have known? She probably got another special after that, and maybe that would have been $2-3 million or whatever she felt was acceptable. But
right.
And then on top of that, why is she counting other people's money?
Yeah, that I don't know. But on a side note, I just would like to say I'm a little surprised that I agree with you so much on this issue. Because I didn't expect for you to take the stance that you did.
Yes, absolutely.
On this. Yeah. But for those of you that do not know who Monique is, because I had no idea who Monique was until she, Cantrice did, but I had no idea who she was until she came. I looked in my trending videos on YouTube, and I seen that this title that said Monique speaks on racial and gender inequality in Hollywood. And I was like, okay, I was a little intrigued right. because you hear about this stuff going on a lot. So
yes.
I like good conversation, so I clicked on it. So for those of you that don't know Monique, and I can't even claim to know her just based upon a couple interviews and a little bit that I've seen from her and trying to get something together for this, ask yourself this, along with the question I already proposed. Is gender or racial bias or even age something that should be brought up for her little conflict with Netflix and her thinking or believing that she did not get the right of money? Because honestly, I hear this argument so much, and it seems almost like a scapegoat for people to just use as a way to try and make a company look bad, try and make a person look bad or insensitive, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's successful, you know.
Yeah.
And not only that, sometimes there is merit to it, but I think this is a little too far with this.
Yeah, she's just creating a buzz for herself, honestly. So she can get more offers, But again, she talks about her resume. Well, look at my resume. Look at my resume. I deserve it. But any job you go to, if you haven't updated your resume in over a year, they're going to look at you like, okay, what have you been doing?
Right.
And if we take you, you're going to take this entry level. We're not going to give you the manager level if you haven't been working in a year or two, or your resume doesn't have any updates to anything that's pertains to the position, which her position is a Netflix comedy special.
Right.
So you haven't done much. Like I said, she is very well known. You know, she did start at Queens of Comedy, and that, like I said, was very successful. She had the show The Parkers, very funny show. And she did the movie Precious, which was also a great movie. But since then, not much has been going on with her. So I just don't think she is right to ask the public to boycott Netflix. Netflix, out of all things. Now, we're not even talking about Hulu here. We're talking about Netflix.
Right.
So I think it's a little ludicrous for her to say those things. One thing that did bother me about the interview with Monique is, if she was a professional, a kind professional, I don't think she should have been calling Charlemagne by his government name, Leonard, or Leonard, and she was mispronouncing it too on purpose.
Wait, how do we know though that was on purpose?
I think it was on purpose because he corrected her, and Angela Yee corrected her, and she kept saying it the wrong way, because I think his name is Leonard, but it's spelled Leonard. So she kept saying Leonard instead of saying Charlemagne. Oh, and then what's up with all the sweeties and honeys and babies? And that just felt weird to me, for her to just keep saying that. Like, I know she's an older lady. She's somebody's auntie or mama.
I think it was a way for her to keep her composure. For her to, like, she needed to say some words that were of comfort and that were softer in order to keep herself from flaring up and just going off.
Yeah.
'Cause she kept herself well composed for the most part, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't there. It wasn't a shouting match.
No, it wasn't a shouting match. She did keep herself composed. And I think you're right. I think she was just saying those words to keep from saying other mean things. So she kept repeating herself, honey, sweetie, baby. And it just felt weird to me for her to keep saying those words like that. I just didn't agree with that part in calling Charlemagne by his government name throughout the show, and not calling, you know, DJ Envy Rashad. You know, it was definitely a dig towards Charlemagne. But that's cool. But on top of her saying sweetie, honey, baby to everyone in the building, she kept calling her husband daddy on this interview, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
On top of that, her husband wasn't there.
Wait, weird because it's in public, or weird just period? Okay.
Yeah. Well, yes, because it's in public, for one. And for two, he's your manager. You are at a interview with professionals. And I just felt it was weird. As your manager, I don't think when you're in that setting, I don't think you should be calling each other pet names, even if it is your husband.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Oh, yes.
I don't find that, though, to be, like...
I found it weird.
Okay, yeah. That much of an issue. But I want to say, though, while we're on this gender, racial bias type whatever thing.
Yes.
Do you think... Because I kind of feel like the reason why she's receiving a lot of support is because a lot of black people feel like they can identify with her. They feel like they have... in some way missed out on job opportunities because of something similar to this, where they feel like they have had the credentials or qualifications on a resume but weren't given a job, or maybe came to find out that in the workplace they were getting less than Joe Smo, right, or whatever.
Right.
Do you see that or no?
I do see that. That is a real thing that does happen to people. Because
I was reading in the comment section and I was like, wow, she received a lot of support. And a lot of people were saying some, you know, inappropriate things and saying some things that were, you know, hurtful towards the Breakfast Club, calling them coons and, you know, this and that, whatever. And another part of me thought, I think another reason why people were running to her defense was that it's important for some people of color and even of other races sometimes, but I think even within like the Black community, when there's some type of quote unquote injustice, for you to side with that person of color,
mm-hmm,
even though
they may be wrong,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
As much as I want to see headway made within the Black community,
mm-hmm,
I don't think just because someone's the same color as you and there's, you know, trying to stand up for something or against something, if you don't agree with that, you don't just stand by that person's side or take their side just because they're Black like you are.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, as Black people, we try to stand together because, you know, we are the minority, not the majority. So, and we go through a lot as a Black people. But again, to what you're saying is, if whatever this person is saying, and if you don't necessarily agree with what they're saying or doing, you don't have to follow their lead and say, oh yeah, well, you know, she's Black, so I'm gonna say, yeah, that's totally wrong, and I'm gonna stand with her and boycott. No, it has to make sense. You can't just jump in the boat just because, you know what I mean? Monkey see, monkey do is what my mom used to say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. we're not gonna do that. And like I said, if she had a significant reason to boycott Netflix, I think I would probably do that with her. But again, her saying is gender bias and race,
mm-hmm,
it just holds no merit. This is about you and what you've been doing and how you've been reaching your audience, and do you have the material to hold a $1 million contract? Are people gonna look for that Monique comedy special and watch it and recommend their friends to watch it?
Yeah.
I don't think Netflix has the confidence in her to do that.
Obviously.
Obviously, and neither do I.
They didn't offer her the money.
And then on top of that, Charlamagne asked her, okay, well, they gave you a lowball amount. Normally in those situations, you want to go ahead and negotiate. Even when you're finding a regular job, they say, hey, I'm going to pay you $12.50 an hour. You say, hey, I don't want $12.50. I was looking for $15.50. What's up with that? And if they say, oh, we can't give that to you, you either...
She said she wasn't able to negotiate.
How are you not able to negotiate?
Because I guess when they put the offer out there and Monique and her husband responded to it, they said, we'll take a look over this.
Her daddy.
And, yeah. And never, I guess... never accepted any like true counter offer, something to that effect, that they weren't open to negotiation. It was, this is what we offer, we'll offer you, if not, you know, we hope that we can work out business sometime in the future, something to that effect. Mm. but yeah. And also I'd like to point out to what you're saying, because the boycott, if we can kind of focus on that a little bit,
mm-hmm,
because in my mind, I ask, why the boycott? If the boycott in some way could be successful, which I don't think it will, wouldn't that affect other people of color that have worked hard, such as Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle.
It would.
Like, because you were wrong or felt like you were wrong by a company, you want them to suffer, and everyone that may be making money from that company to suffer.
Right. Now you're cutting everyone's check.
Right.
Because
even your
check cut.
Your people.
Right. Right. Even your people. You're going to cut their check because you didn't get the amount of money that you feel like you deserve. Honey, go out there and make that money.
Make the money.
You could have took that $500,000.
I could do a lot with that right now.
Invested that money and turned it into millions if that's the case. If that's what you really are looking for.
And she can have more than one platform. Oh, well, maybe not. Some contracts might just limit you to their platform.
Right.
Because I was going to say, I'm saying now, like, you know, take that Netflix contract and then still go out and do what you can on the side to make even more money, you know?
Absolutely. She could have done that. She could have created...
But I don't know what regulations may have come with her contract with her, for Netflix to be like, look, you know, your material has to come through here, or yada, yada. I don't know.
True. Maybe. But if she would have gave them a chance, who would have known how many other doors that could have opened for her? Netflix is a major streaming service.
I also want to know how long this contract would have been for.
Who knows? She might have got one special. She may have just got two specials. Like I said, Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, they have two specials. Mm-hmm. So she could have potentially got that too if she'd have done well with the first. Cat Williams, he's another one that just had a special release, and that was great. So I don't understand why she feels the need to boycott Netflix as if that's going to make a major difference. And then if we were all to boycott Netflix, then like you said, that would be taking, you know, money off the table for many others, because then Netflix would be losing money. Then they have to cut everyone's money down to make up for that. So I don't think that Monique is in the right space. I just don't think she's thinking clearly. A lot of people think her husband has a lot to do with it, her new husband. This is a new husband for her, who is her manager. Her last husband was her manager as well. So I think her husband may have something to do with this, or maybe...
Oh, absolutely.
She might just be getting old. I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to make it seem like, you know, she's just an older lady and she's crazy, but... nothing that she's saying is holding any water for me.
So
like,
let's watch more Netflix.
Yeah, let's watch more Netflix.
More than usual.
Yes, let's watch everyone's special, including Amy Schumer. Like,
in the comment section, I know I mentioned it before, but it's funny sometimes just to hear what some people will say. And the one guy said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, it's funny, these people that want to talk about supporting her boycott, and you know dang well, or something like that, that they still got their Netflix accounts open. Right. And then he was like, I'm about to watch me some Netflix now.
Exactly. Netflix is everything, okay? Netflix and chill. There's a reason that people say that all the time, and there's songs about Netflix. SmiNo being one of them. If you want to check that song out, called Netflix and Chill, called the artist's name is SmiNo. It's a great song. I like that song. Anyhow, now I'm going to go back to Monique and being blackballed from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's saying that it's Oprah's fault. You know, she had some type of issue with Oprah because Oprah did an interview with her mother years ago, might I add. Did an interview with her mother about Monique's family and Monique being molested and things of that nature. And I guess Monique opened up to Oprah and gave her truth about her upbringing. And then Oprah later on said, okay, well, now I'm going to interview this girl's mom. And she did, and that upset Monique. And I guess Monique approached Oprah at an event in front of everyone and made it an issue. Well, you don't play with people with power like that. You know that, again, it goes back to her business side. If you have an issue with someone, you have to address them at the right time.
True.
we know that Oprah has that much power. So why wouldn't she say, hey, Oprah, you know what? Let me call you, or can we meet up? I really need to speak to you about the interview you had with my mother. Instead of trying to bring it up in front of a crowd of people, that's going to cause some issues for you, and obviously it has. So then you have the Lee Daniels situation. I'm not sure exactly why Lee Daniels and Monique are beefing, but he's also a great black producer that's doing major things out here.
Major key alert.
That Monique could have been a part of Empire being one of them. No one wants to work with her. Mm. So you're sitting there saying, you know, you hear these things and then you're saying, oh, well, it's their fault that I'm being blackballed. Honey, no, it's you. Something about you and your spirit is driving these people away from you.
She needs to cast that unclean spirit.
She needs to bathe in some holy water or something.
Of her body.
Something is going on with her that is rubbing people the wrong way, unfortunately. And it's, like I said, it's unfortunate for Monique because she is very talented. She's very funny. She did have those shows and those comedy specials that I loved and grew up on. But I say all that to say this, she is still showing those disrespectful ways, like I said, by calling Charlamagne Leonard. And also at the end of the interview, she kind of said something that was kind of mean towards Charlamagne because he would not take back what he said about her being a donkey. She basically called this man a slave.
Oh, yes.
And said that he would, you know, sell his wife. And if you're a woman who is not this bad person that everyone's saying about you, or you're very kind to people and things of that nature, why would you call a man who disagrees with you a slave?
Right. Actually, I want to play that piece because I found that kind of funny.
Yeah. Play that because that... That just proves everyone's point of you being hard to work with.
Yeah. Hang on. All right. So let's go to that.
Thank you, Ms. Monique, for coming.
Appreciate you, Ms. Monique.
Thank y'all.
All right, brother. And it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Eddie, thank you so much, my sweet baby, for having us.
Why do you keep thinking me?
You know what, brother? You're going to hear yourself a lot from me lately. You're going to hear yourself around the world because we have to explain brothers like you. We do. And when we watched that movie, Birth of a Nation, and we saw that man walk his wife into that master's house, we watched him walk his wife in. Then we watched him go back and get him. You're that brother. I thank y'all for your time, my babies.
Thank you.
I just find that hilarious.
Oh, man. You're that man.
You're that brother. When we watched that brother, and she just pointed at him, and like, what does she expect him to say at that point? Oh, yes, ma'am, you're right. I am that brother. I am that slave that sells my wife. Like, come on, Monique.
Yeah, it was definitely comical, but and I haven't seen that, but for her to say that and knowing her intention. It was definitely a stretch. And that's what's interesting in this, too, because it's like, again, someone of your same color disagreeing with you,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make them...
Right, now it's an issue.
Yeah, and I've seen this over and over again, you know, where somebody, for example, may support Trump, you know, and... Mm-mm. They're of color and yeah, we'll talk about that sometime. But they'll be called the Uncle Tom, or they'll be called, you know, a coon, and all because, and this is one of many black issues where within the black community, where they will tear someone down for having a view that differs from the ideal black ideology, or there's this type of view or perception that black people ought to think a certain way, mm-hmm. and they ought to vote a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and and it's really sad, to be honest, because it, I think it takes away from the individuality that we as Black people can sometimes miss out on because of this. And I get, again, that the importance of, you know, standing up for other people, but it shouldn't, it shouldn't matter so much, you know, of it being a color issue, as much as at the same time, I want to help people, you know, within the Black community. And that's primarily because they're the ones that are suffering the most. If it were vice versa,
yeah,
I'm more than certain that I would want to help the white people that were suffering, you know, in the same way that, that Black people are. But it's, you know, it's little parallel in how that works. But
yeah, I mean, listen, I got friends who, or I have a specific friend who admitted that she voted for Trump. And
can we admit those things? Is it okay?
I think it's okay.
I voted for Trump.
Okay, that's fine.
Wait, let me ask you something real quick. Don't lose your thought. Write it down if you... Okay. Tell me if you think this is wrong. I feel like people are in more, or could potentially be in more danger in terms of hate and even physical assault if it's found out that they've voted of Trump amongst people that did not, versus the opposite, where someone voted for Hillary.
Well, listen, violence is never the answer.
Right. But do you feel like...
I feel like...
Which one do you feel like would be more in danger? Someone that voted for Trump?
Yeah, I definitely think a person who voted for Trump that admits that they voted for Trump in amongst their people or in a crowd of Black folks or brown folks, you might get snuffed a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
So let me make a point on that real quick.
Yeah.
I think there is a maturity issue at large.
Sure.
Within people that tend to vote on the more so to the left of thing, whether they be Democratic, lefties, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trump winning was evidence of that, of the chaos in the streets because of him winning. And there wasn't anything that was in close comparison that I can think of when Obama won.
No.
Even though there were people that were highly upset, you know.
Well, yeah, there's definitely some white folks that were upset and some Black folks that were upset that Obama won. The difference between...
And some Chinese. Why they always get left out?
Why are we leaving them out?
But go back to your friend. Go back to your friend, though.
But yeah, I had a friend that admitted that she voted for Trump. And I was devastated because when I see Trump in the way that he carries himself, I didn't see him as a man. I saw him as this little boy that also felt entitled to the world. Mm-hmm. And because he was a great businessman and because he had television shows, that he thought he could bring something new and do what's right for America. White America.
you know, Black unemployment's down.
No. Listen, honey. Black unemployment was down before Mr. Wig got up into the office.
It was trending down.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't done anything to prevent it for, quote unquote, being racist. Mm-hmm. You think he would actively be doing something to see Black unemployment go up?
He's so busy on his little Twitter and his cell phone and
Twitter wars,
trying to fight collusion. He's not thinking about driving up the unemployment rate for Black folks right now. That's not his focus. His focus is
focus?
Is trying to stay out of the FBI, out of his business, and
that conclusion.
He's worried about fake news and people saying things that may or may not be true.
Yeah,
and tweeting about it.
That's amazing. We just got on to Trump. I was going to save this issue.
Well, it happened. But anyway, I was saying that to say this. When we talk about black people sticking together or having different views and not sticking it together.
Yeah.
When my friend told me that, like I said, I was devastated. I was hurt. I was shocked.
Mm.
I couldn't believe it.
Dang.
I was like, damn.
Outraged.
Oh, excuse me. I was like, dang, girl.
Ooh.
What happened? Because, you know, she's from the same hood that I'm from. And
Southside?
Yeah, Southside. And, you know, we've dealt with a lot as a people. And then to hear some of the things that Trump was saying during his campaign and just the uproar that he has pretty much brought out of, especially out of white folks.
Wait, let me ask you this, Cantrice.
What?
As of now, since Trump has been in office, has there been anything significant or even maybe minor that has happened in your life that you would say is a negative thing as a result to Trump being in the White House?
Yes.
What's that?
The KKK resurfacing.
Oh my.
They have resurfaced and they're big, loud, and proud these days. They used to hide.
I'll give you that, but has it affected you?
Yes, it affects me.
Because, why? How?
Because it affects me emotionally. I sit there and I wonder, okay.
The big bad wolf?
Yes, it's this big bad wolf. And unfortunately, I have to sit there and think, okay, when I see white folks, and I know I shouldn't think like this, but sometimes I'll be looking at white folks or I'll see them look at me and I'll be like, are they looking at me some kind of way because I'm a black woman? Are they looking at me some kind of way because I wear my fro? You know, I feel like he brought out a lot of hate in white folks, and, you know, white folks sometimes try to seem like they're, no, not sometimes. They've been doing this for years. It's not all of them.
But what is your fear, honestly, with the KKK? That they're going to come and lynch you?
I think it could get to that point. I think it could get... my fear is that it gets out of hand and that time reverts itself. And then next thing you know, yeah, little black boys and black women are being hung. Absolutely. Because these kids are impressionable. And KKK members, they have babies.
Okay.
Okay.
I have to disagree.
That's fine. But it is happening, Jason. It does happen to little children. There's a little boy that recently was in the news, and he had a noose around his neck.
But also, let me say this.
Where did they learn that idea?
Who had a noose?
A little boy got noosed playing with some little white kids, and he was half black, half white. And they decided to hang this little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were teenagers.
Wow. Where was this?
I can't remember. I think it was Alabama or something like that.
God, of course, Alabama.
So, you know, I don't feel like Donald Trump is for the people. He is not about unity. I don't think so. I don't feel the love from him. I think, and on top of that, I think he's less than smart. So, back to my friend, when she told me she voted for him, I was upset, but I still love her.
Well, you know thank God.
Yeah.
Why would you hate her?
No. There's some people, when we talk about division amongst each other.
Yeah, friendships have been split because of people's political differences.
Exactly.
That's sad.
That is sad.
Unless someone's talking about, like, genocide.
Right. Well,
freaking communism or something. I think...
That's obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, she, I still love her. I still support her. I'm still there for her, even though she may have voted the other way.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So we know that your little fear of, or maybe it's major.
It's not little. It's not really big.
It's
not a fear. It is a concern.
Like when you walk down the street and you see a white person, like, do you, like, see briefly a KKK member?
I just envision them with the little stupid hat on top of their head. And no, I mean, I love everybody. I think there's good in everyone if they just...
I can tell you won't get to that point. I honestly believe that it will not get to the point that you think. I think it's a exaggeration, and I think there are people within the media that want to try and capitalize on fear, especially within the black community, to make it appear as if that something's larger than it actually is.
Yeah.
Because I...
Sure.
From what I know, sure, the KKK membership is not significant in any way. And since the early 1900s, they had a little bit of a resurge when David Duke or whatever came along. But then...
And they went to Home Depot and did what?
Decline. Well, their membership has declined. But I think they're still accepting.
They're definitely still accepting. They're accepting people on Craigslist and whatnot. You know, it's crazy.
I heard of a comedian though that played as a played as if he was another KKK member. They were going to meet up.
He was on Craigslist. And he kept making these appointments to meet up.
All right, but let's end on this.
Yeah.
What would you say if Trump, for you, would probably be accidentally? If his administration made life a little better for black people, what would you say of Trump?
If Trump got us...
Would you say then he wasn't racist?
Yes.
Because right now you believe he's racist.
I believe he's racist, which, and he's less than smart, and that...
Which is based upon feeling, because I don't think you have anything right.
Listen, he worked with many black folks. Omarosa, who people call a coon. Little John. You know, he's had these people... Steve Harvey.
Harvester.
You know,
he got backlash. Steve Harvey got backlash. Why can't we have a conversation?
Because no one's having a conversation with him. He is.
Yeah, but Donald Trump wants to. But then if a black person has a conversation with Donald Trump, they're like, oh, you're a coon, blah, 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 this or that. It's like, yo, chill. Like, this is how we overcome issues.
Sure, but if the conversation was happening, there's no conversation happening. Donald Trump is using.
He wants
black,
to.
No, Donald Trump is using black people as a decoy.
For what? So he's like, here, black people, look at this.
Yeah, it's like, here,
and
black
I'm
people.
Over here doing
I
that.
I do like black people. Here's a sprinkle.
It's funny how people really know people's intentions like that, because I'm not seeing it.
Well, and that's what makes our podcast.
But I would like to.
Great.
Huh?
That's what makes our podcast great.
We're finally disagreeing on something.
We see things differently.
Because we were in agreement with Miss Monique.
Yeah, and we're going to have agreements, and we're also going to have many disagreements. But I just don't see Donald Trump doing anything for the people, black and brown. And the way he treated Puerto Rico, and the way he talks about
paper towels.
The paper towels. Who does that? And then the way he talked about African countries and Haiti.
Ooh, good one.
Come on.
I like that.
Come on. Who does that? And then what else did he say?
You know there that they had a I gotta look this up. And they had someone interviewed. They interviewed someone. Want to say...
And what kind of president just cussed like that all the time?
Gosh, this is bad, because I'm supposed to cite the sources and everything. But anyways...
You tell me I can't cuss on a podcast, there's but our black... president cuss.
Huh?
You tell me I can't cuss on a podcast, but our president cuss. He called people SOBs and POSs.
Not in a... Yeah, in a closed setting, though.
It's closed in here.
And the crap hole...
Yeah.
Comment from what I know is a closed setting, which hasn't even been completely confirmed.
Who talks like
But
what president talk like that, Jason?
You don't think there's truth to what he said, though? There's people from those countries.
You don't say that.
That agree.
I don't care. You don't say stuff like that about people's countries. That's disrespectful.
Look.
How would he feel if China called us a POS? Or somewhere else?
He would tell China, well, you're doing business with us. I don't know. No. China's getting the better end. So that may not be the best.
Yeah, that's a bad example because China is ruining, you know, they're running everything. But that's not nice. And then you call our football players SOBs.
So, but some things have truth that may not be nice. And sometimes.
No, ain't no football. No,
not the SOB. Okay. I think that was too far.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you agree on that one.
I'm talking about the crap hole. Because those countries.
Come on.
I've seen documentaries, And I have spoken with missionaries that have gone to these countries. And
every place has a ghetto. There are some places that are beautiful.
Look, I want to say that you can call a country. Let's make it more political and say this: Africa is a third world, underdeveloped country that suffers economically, socially, and is heavily impoverished.
Not the whole continent. No, it's not.
At large.
Sure, at large, but not the whole continent. South Africa is thriving very well.
Parts.
And they're making money out there. So you can't call a whole country or continent a piece of crap. Like, you just can't do that. That's just so disrespectful.
That is hilarious.
You can't do that. That's disrespectful to the people and to the place. You just don't do that. That's just,
I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's hilarious.
Jason, there's no, there's just, that's just,
how is it disrespectful? No, doesn't mean that a person themselves is a piece of SH.
Yes, he's definitely a piece of SH.
I'm not talking about Trump. I'm saying, because he said that a place
is a
crap hole, that doesn't mean that person is.
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
That's what he's saying.
No.
Yes, it is. If someone
these countries are jacked up because of oligarchies, because of government officials that are corrupt and that are robbing and depriving their citizens of what they should be, of what they should rightfully be giving to them.
Hey, listen here. And most
most
of these places are being ran by white folk.
What places?
South Africa. Well, they were.
Right.
You know how many white presidents it was in South Africa?
I don't know how many.
It was
But that's a little snippet. And I'll say that South Africa is probably the most prosperous country or part of Africa.
Yeah, it is.
What a coincidence. And them white people.
Listen, white folks for years have been taking advantage of black people. It's just a fact, okay?
Every type of
person
or every type of race has had their differences with other races.
Okay.
This is just more at home for us.
Yeah.
No, the Japanese and the Chinese.
Who were they beefing with, though?
Each other.
Okay.
You have blacks and you have Africans in Africa that wage war against each other because one is a lighter complexion.
But you know who started that?
Don't start.
Come on.
See,
the white man has taught us to
Why is everything black? Oh my. Can we take responsibility for anything?
Yeah, of course we can. But I'm just telling
act like we're not in charge.
I just want you to know.
We need to end this. We need to go on to another segment and finish this.
We can go on to another segment, but I just want you to know.
All right, get the last word.
That.
Uh-huh.
The reason people do that to each other, black people do that to each other, is because if you have a lighter skin, you are more acceptable.
I told you you'd get the last word, but I'm trying to bite my tongue.
Listen, that is just how that even brings up the issue. I don't know if you heard about this, but the black Latino girl, because she's dark skinned, she's saying she can't get work because she's not a fair skinned Latina.
Okay. And your point?
I'm just telling you. If you have a lighter skin, you are more accepted. And that's why black folks hate on each other like that. Self-hate, for sure. And yes, we are in control of our own destiny.
So we're going to solve that by fighting?
No, definitely not. I just wanted you to know where it stemmed from.
Cantrice.
What?
I need to educate you.
Well, I guess we need to educate each other. I'm willing to listen as long as you are.
Can I do a shout out for my own song, or is that not good? Okay, guys, so I'm on YouTube. Jason J, JASON_VII. Me and my man Young Chi have just put out a song called 100. That's how we say it. 100. You heard it?
Yeah. I commented on your video.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Young Trees. Okay, so I'm going to just play a little snippet. We're going to end on that. So, yeah, support the kid. Also, Instagram, same name.
Gotta keep it 100. 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 Gotta keep it 100.
Yeah.
I could do all things with faith. I do not lean on my own strength. I don't claim perfection. I'm far from a saint. I'm going hard. Not wrong things in the pain. You better step up your way or step out my way. I'm solid as a rock. I will not sway. I feel the pressure coming my way, but I will not cave. I'm a new man and the old man's in the grave. I'm about to make a move, but I ain't switching lanes.
So there you have it. Support the kids, support the podcast. You can catch us on Twitter at Jay and Treese. That's JAYANDTRICE.